Turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 11. As you're turning there, shortly after tying the knot, a young married couple started arguing over who should make the coffee each morning. Being a good Christian woman, the wife went to the scriptures for her answer. She said that the Bible specifically stated that men should be the ones to make the coffee. Puzzled, her husband asked, "Where in the Bible is that?" Very confidently, the wife opened up her Bible and it says right here, Hebrews. We lost that one, John. Hebrews. You know you're going to repeat that tomorrow. You know it. Amen. This morning we're going to talk about backsliding. Guarding our heart against backsliding. Now there's a lot of discussion in Christian circles. A lot of folks have different opinions about backsliding. You know, what is backsliding? Is it even biblical? Is it in the Bible? What does the Bible say about it? Well, my opinion doesn't matter, so we're going to look into God's Word this morning. Amen? Right in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, God says, "The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above." The backslider. So right here we see it's absolutely biblical. We all have an image in our mind about what a backslider looks like, and I can almost guarantee you normally that's an improper vision. Amen? We all picture who a backslider would be, kind of what they would look like, but I guarantee it's totally inaccurate. Most backsliders, in fact, they don't even realize their spiritual condition. Many believe that a backslider is not saved. That's just not correct either. When God talks about a backslider, he's absolutely talking about a born-again believer, someone who knows Jesus Christ. So you have to be in Jesus Christ before you can slide back away from him. Amen? So when God talks about a backslider, he's talking about a believer. Now, a backslider is absolutely a born-again believer that has drifted or slid in away from the Lord. They're absolutely saved, but they are just currently out of fellowship with God in their spiritual walk. Now, let's be totally honest. Let's break it down. Let's understand exactly what this truth is talking about. If there was ever a time in your life when you were closer to Jesus Christ than you are today, then you're a backslider. Amen? That means at one point you were closer to Jesus Christ than you are today. That means you have backslidden. If there was ever a time when you trusted him more, if there was ever a time when you prayed more, read your Bible more, were more active in church activities and ministries, then you are a backslider. Amen? And we can all say that one time or another in our walk, that we have fallen into this category. Amen? So the bottom line is that we all need to listen and hear this message today. Can't sit there and say, "Well, glad this message isn't about me." Amen? This message is for all of us. The Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled in his own ways. Not God's ways. You notice that? In his own ways. In Matthew chapter 12, listen to what Jesus said. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So looking at these scriptures, and we understand what they say, backsliding is a what? It's a heart condition. Amen? Backslider in heart. These are all a heart condition. We think about backsliding. Now, let's go back to our original text, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, we're going to look at a great biblical example of a backslider. Now, this backslider also happens to be one of the greatest men of faith that the Bible speaks of. He is King David. whom God calls a man after his own heart. Think about that. David was a man of character. He was also a man of courage. The Bible details how he killed a lion, he killed a bear, and we're all familiar with the story of how he killed the giant Goliath. A man of courage and character. David was also very talented and gifted. He was a poet, he was a singer, a musician, he was a shepherd, a prophet, and he was Israel's greatest king. And even with all his talents, all that he was blessed with, David was also a very humble soul. The Bible tells us that when he was young, we read about how the high priest visited the house of Jesse, his father. They went son by son all the way down the line. Started with his oldest brother, Eliab. Looked the part, thought he was the part, but God rejected him. All the way down to young David. David was the one who God handpicked and anointed to be the next king of Israel. When David heard the news, guess what David did? Did he go, nah, 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 to his brothers? No. Young David simply bowed his head and went right back out in the field to tend his sheep. A very humble soul. David was also a very noble man. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, we read how King Saul pursued and chased David all throughout the land of Israel, trying to capture him and just plain and simply kill him. Saul was jealous, and he wanted to get rid of David. There was a day that David had an opportunity to take Saul's life. Amen? Saul was in a cave, right in David's crosshairs, and David could have absolutely taken his life in that compromised position. But what did David say? David wouldn't lay a finger on Saul. Why? Because he refused to touch one of God's anointed. Saul was the current king, and David refused to touch him. This was a man that had faith to move mountains. He was gifted, he was talented, he was blessed beyond measure, he was full of character, full of courage, full of nobility, full of humility. And yet he fell, and he fell hard. He was a backslider. So we need to understand, if David could become a backslider, then we all need to guard our hearts. Amen? We need to see this message as a solemn warning. We need to pay close attention. We need to be very mindful. We need to be careful of Satan's deceptions and his distractions that he puts in this world for us. We cannot let this world pull us away from our Lord. Amen. First thing I want us to consider is the cause of David's backsliding. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's look right at verse 1. Consider the cause of David's backsliding. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Underline this. But David remained at Jerusalem. Verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Bottom line, the root cause of all backsliding is sin, plain and simple. Amen? It's sin. But I want us to dig a little deeper and see the specific sins that caused David to go into backsliding. And the first one is the sin of casualness, being way too casual. Verse 1 here, as we read, tells us that this was the time of the year, this was the spring of the year, when all the kings went out to battle. Not David. Amen? Notice what it said here. But David remained at Jerusalem. He did not go. This was a time when the kings went to battle, but King David stayed home. As we said before, David was an absolute warrior. He was a great leader. He was an incredible commander. No doubt in his earlier days, he would have been right there on the battlefield with his soldiers. He would have honored to be, he would have been honored to fight for his Lord. Amen. But what changed? David had victory upon victory, success upon success, blessing upon blessing, and this led to him to become complacent. David started to get comfortable. What did he do? Instead of going to battle, the Bible tells us that he sent Joab and his servants in his place. David began to take God for granted. He became too casual with the things of God. And I'm afraid too many Christians today are becoming like David. They've been blessed with victory after victory, and they've overcome time and time again. They've experienced the power of and presence of God in their life over and over. But now, they've put it in cruise control. Amen. They begin to take God for granted and to begin to presume and assume that He's just always going to be close by their side no matter what their walk is. And like David, they begin to fall into the sin of casualness. Verse 2 again. It says, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked out onto the roof of the king's house. So right here we see the Bible's letting us know that it's evening. It's dark. When David should be going to bed, where's David? He's getting out of bed. This was not the David of old, just lounging around the king's palace. How casual he had become. Idle minds and idle hands are certainly Satan's workshop. Amen? God never intends for us to become idle with spiritual things. He never intends for us to become idle in our spiritual walk and relationship with Him. We need to understand that we are never safe from spiritual battles. Amen? We may retire from our secular job, but we never retire from our Christian service. We need to stay alert. We have to stay on guard from the sin of casualness. So with David, that sin of casualness now turns into the sin of carelessness. So we see that David arose from his bed. He walked on the roof of the king's house, verse 2 again. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. You say, but preacher, it's not David's fault that this woman was out there naked. And you're absolutely right. But David also had a choice, didn't he? David had a choice when he first noticed her out there. He should have turned away and went back inside and gone back to bed where he should have been in the first place. Amen? He had a choice. But instead, we read here, the Bible says that she was very beautiful to behold. We need to understand what that word behold means. Behold in this context means a long gaze. Means to take something in. And what God is telling us here is that David stayed and he gazed for a long time and continued to take in her beauty. And we need to understand what Jesus says about this situation. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her, where? In his heart. What God is telling us here in verse 2 is that David lusted after her, that long gaze that he beheld her, and sinned in his heart. He became so casual that it turned careless in his spiritual walk. If he had gone out to battle where he should have been in the first place, he would never have been in this situation. More importantly, if he had been walking close to God like he should have been, he would have looked away and went right back inside. Amen? Look, the bottom line is we can't keep the sun from shining down on us, can we? But we don't have to stay out in it to the point that we get sunburned. Amen? That's the bottom line. But with David, it's now beginning to get lodged deep down in his heart, right where God says backsliding begins. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. God commands us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word keep literally means guard. God commands us that we are to guard our heart because that's where the issues of life spring out of. David had become careless. He failed to guard his heart. And we must constantly guard what goes into our mind and into our heart. Amen? Isaiah 33, starting at verse 15, says, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of the oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. Listen, bottom line is that this world is full of things that we ought not to look upon, wicked and corrupt things that we ought not to be part of. Amen? Satan has absolutely bombarded us with every temptation imaginable in this world. And God is warning us that we have to guard our heart, guard our mind from what we see, where we go, what we listen to at all times. The moment that we let our guard down is the moment that we become careless in our spiritual walk. For David, it started with that sin of casualness, being complacent. Then it progressed to the sin of casualness. But it didn't stop there. It then moved to the sin of compulsiveness. Look at verse 3. Back to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3. Verse 2, we see that he stared and he gazed upon this beautiful woman. Verse 3, so David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? This was not something that David had planned to do. This wasn't something that he sat down and thought about. This was something that was done out of compulsion. It was a compulsive decision made right on the spot. In fact, David, I believe, didn't even know that he had this evil tendency in his heart, as most Christians don't believe they do. He didn't realize that he had this proclivity to sin. And he made an impulsive decision. And that decision he would regret the rest of his life. All because he became casual. He became complacent. He became careless in his spiritual walk. And listen, there is a born-again believer out there, or maybe one here this morning, that is going to fall and going to fall hard into sin. And when they do, they're going to be absolutely shocked. Shocked and amazed that it happened to them. Do you know who won't be shocked? God. Do you know why? Because God already saw how casual they had become in their walk. God already saw how careless they were in where they went, in what they saw, in what they heard, in what they did. And guess who else was watching? Our enemy, Satan. Satan was watching and he was waiting for them to make that regrettable decision out of compulsion so that he could pounce. Don't fall into that snare and say, well, that's never going to be me. Truth is, there's three people within each and every one of us. The person that we are right now today. There's also the person that we can be in Jesus Christ. Just endless possibilities there. But the third one is that one that is capable of falling into the deepest and darkest sin. We all have a dark side in our flesh. We're talking about David this morning. The Apostle Paul. God picked him to write 13 books of the Bible. Great man of God, incredible faith. Listen to what he wrote in the book of Romans. Chapter 7, verse 18. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," he says, "for I know that in me nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Paul saying, I know what the right thing to do is, but I just can't seem to do it. He says, my desire is to please God. My desire is to walk after God. My desire is to do the right thing, he said, but my flesh, I constantly trip and fall, and I fail to do the right thing. Amen? And be honest, that's all of us, isn't it? We all have that daily struggle between the soul that's already redeemed, but it's wrapped in this flesh that can never be redeemed. So you have that constant battle every single day. Our soul wants to please God and do what's right, but the flesh wants to live after this world. That daily battle that we have. And we need to understand that we all have those three people in us. Amen? And we need to guard our heart from that third one. Work on that person we are today to become what we can in Jesus Christ. We have to guard our heart. And the Bible is full of strong men of faith that simply took their eyes off their Lord. They became casual. They became careless. They failed to guard their heart from the temptations of this world. And down they went. And they fell hard. David was no different. He did something in the spur of the moment, something he never intended to do, something he never dreamed that he could do. And the truth is, we all have that same proclivity to sin. Amen? And we need to guard our hearts.